Amen. You can be seated. Good morning. That is just a sample of our VBS music that'll be starting off. We are excited. Tomorrow morning kicks off a great week. We're looking forward to it. And at the end of the service, we're going to have all of our VBS staff, and there are a lot of you here today. I'll have you come up front and we'll pray together. But let's start off this morning with a word of prayer. Father, we are just thankful for your encouraging gospel, the truth of your word, and the chance to take some time and look at your word this morning. We look forward to this week of Vacation Bible School and pray that you would bless the week as well. And so we pray that you'd bless our study, lead us in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to be this morning in John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And if you're using a Pew Bible, it's on page 718. So we'll be there in a few minutes. And we'll be in some other passages, but we'll have those on the screen. But just as a review, last week we saw that most of the people, as Jesus was teaching, they didn't believe that he was the coming deliverer. They did not believe that he was the Son of God. But he had done a lot of things to prove his identity, just from what he had taught. He had told people that he was the coming one, the one that had been promised so many centuries prior. He did miracles. He did things that no one else had done at that time or since. And he forgave sin. You remember the reaction of people when he said to the man, "Your sins are forgiven." It was a claim, direct claim to being God. And then last week we looked at Jesus asking his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And Peter was the one that bravely spoke up with that truth that you are the promised one sent from God into the world. And with all that we've studied, I hope that we have seen and we believe that Jesus is the deliverer. Because if we don't believe that truth, then we will be separated from God forever. It's a very important thing. So isn't it interesting? Nothing ever took Jesus by surprise. He told his disciples what was going to happen ahead of time, and he told them he was going to be rejected by the Jewish rulers, and they would have him killed, but he told them very clearly he was going to rise on the third day. And then we saw last week that transfiguration of Jesus. We saw that he was up on that mountain, Moses and Elijah. They appeared, they were with Christ, and what were they talking about with Jesus? Well, we talked about the fact that they were talking about his death, which was going to happen in Jerusalem. He was even that specific. Nothing took Jesus by surprise. And God, at that time, the transfiguration, he said of Jesus that he was his much-loved son, and he told those there, listen to what he has to say. So that's a little bit of a review. As we start off this week, let's keep in mind, God wants everyone to know him, to know the way to him, and to have eternal life. And he's made it very clear in his word, how can we have a restored relationship with him? Many people, unfortunately, though, look at God's word and they seek other ways to him. And when I think about it, that's our nature. Every one of us, we have this pride inside of us that says, I can do it. I've got it what it takes. But when we really think about it, what an insult that is to God when we ignore the one that he sent to be the deliverer. The title of this morning's message is Jesus, the Only Door to Eternal Life. And for believers that are here this morning, this is a message we can share with those family, friends, others in conversation. So let's look at John chapter 10. I hope you're there now. John chapter 10, and we'll start in verse 7, where we see that Jesus said he is like the door into the sheepfold. John chapter 10, verse 7. So Jesus said to them again, truly, truly, and we talked about in past weeks when Jesus said truly, truly, it meant, hey, this is important, listen to this. Jesus said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Now, before this verse, he had started to use this analogy. He's talking about sheep and doors, and his disciples were like, huh? What's going on? It didn't make sense to him. So he's getting a little bit more specific, and he's saying, I am the door of the sheep. Many Jews, as we've seen, were shepherds throughout history. There was Abel, there was Abraham, Jacob, there was Joseph, Moses, lots of others. So many throughout history of the Jewish people were shepherds. And at this time, when Jesus was speaking, there were many shepherds at that time. So this was some analogy, some word pictures that they could really understand. And we see that he's talking about the shepherd as a security guard next. One of the shepherd's tasks was to find a place of safety for their flocks at night. Sometimes in the dry and barren land of Israel, they had to go somewhere else to find some good grass at all. And so oftentimes it would get late in the day and they were maybe miles away from home, and so they would bed down for the night with the sheep, and their job was to keep the sheep safe. And for us, I was thinking, you know, we're out here in the desert, we know what some of the dangers might be for animals left out in the wild. One, there's robbers. We've got a place up in the Chiricahuas called Rustler Park. Anybody been there before? Yeah, it's called that because the cattle rustlers used to take their cows up there and hide out before they took them elsewhere. So we've got Rustler Park. It wasn't too long ago I heard of some ranchers in our area. They were missing a large number of head of cattle, and they assumed that they had been stolen. So that's a big threat to our area. And then there's wild animals, you know. We've got those in our areas. We've got coyotes. We've got bobcats. We've got mountain lions. Not too long ago, I was talking with a rancher. He had cattle that were up in an area that he knew there were mountain lions, and he had some of those cattle were going to calve, and he says, we've got to get them down out of there before they calve because they're not going to last, right? So that's a threat that our own ranchers in this area face. And so for the Jewish people, before it got dark, they would find a place that would be safe for their sheep. Sometimes that might be a cave. Sometimes, more often, it was a sheepfold. And we've got a couple pictures of those. But this was just simply an enclosure made out of rocks. They might have some thorn bushes and stones that they would put up. And at night, the shepherd would lead his sheep into that sheepfold. It was a place of safety, and then the shepherd would lie down across the entrance. And the idea is, if you want to get to these sheep, you've got to come through me. And so Jesus says he's like the door into the sheepfold. The only entrance to the enclosure was the entrance through the one where Jesus, the shepherd, was lying. So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. So what is he talking about here? He's talking about just in the same way that a shepherd would protect physically his sheep, Jesus is the one that provides spiritual security, eternal life. Outside the world, as we've talked about, there's Satan, there's his evil spirits, there's all kinds of sin and death, and they're just like the robbers that would steal the sheep, just like the wild animals that would kill them. And Satan doesn't want anybody to get into the safety of the sheepfold. So he makes people think that there's other ways, other than through Christ, to get into a place of spiritual security. And both Peter and Paul, they warned in their writings of these dangers. In 1 Peter 5:8, Peter writes, and he says, be of sober spirit. In other words, be aware, be on guard. Beyond the alert, your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. So that was Peter's warning, and Paul agreed with him. Paul wrote about false teachers in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 through 15, and he called those false teachers servants of Satan. He says, and look for the words disguise or different forms of that word in this passage here. Some men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds. So why did Peter and Paul give these warnings? they gave these warnings because it's one of Satan's tactics to use false saviors that claim to be the way to God. And Jesus goes on in verse 8, we're back in John chapter 10, verse 8, he says, "All those who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them." You see, before Jesus was born, there were other that had come to the Jews. They claimed to be the Christ, the Messiah. And Jesus said of those, all of those people, they were just like robbers who come at night to steal the sheep. So that happened before Jesus was born as a baby and began his ministry here on earth. But Satan still has his servants, even today, that teach other ways to God because he's a liar and a deceiver. And one of the main ways that he deceives people is by only telling a part of the truth. He'll always mix in a little truth, but as we've seen in the scriptures, way back with Adam and Eve, he'll take a little bit of truth and twist it and make it into a lie. And just as God speaks through his servants, Satan also uses his servants. They may be people that have their own personal views. Hey, I know the way to please God. It may be a denominational view of a way that a person can be right with God. But Satan fully intends to lead people, however he may, away from the truth. And it's important to realize that false teachers, they're first of all deceived by Satan themselves, and then they go on to also deceive others. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, the writer says, "There is a way which seems right to a person, but its end is the way of death." So what seems right oftentimes is very wrong, even deadly. As I was thinking about this, I think of a young man that some of you know. His name is Carson. And when Carson was a young boy, at least, probably today, he loved animals. I mean, Carson was always catching whatever he could. He'd take care of these animals. Some of them were domesticated. I saw him one time, he had this pig that had been fed way too long. I mean, it was almost the size of a small cow. But Carson loved animals. And one day, Carson picked up a snake, and he thought it was a bull snake. And so as he's holding this snake right behind its head, he started to look at it more closely and realized it wasn't a small bull snake, it was a baby rattlesnake. And you can see in the picture, it's very easy to make this mistake out here, right? These two snakes look very similar. You ever been in that situation where you're holding something that you think is safe, right? You think it's safe. It seems like it's right. But in the end, it's death. So Carson, when he realized that he had a situation on his hands, in his hand, he went to release the snake. Unfortunately, the snake bit his hand. And as we know, these baby rattlesnakes, they don't know how to hold back. It released all of its venom, apparently, and that led to a very expensive helicopter flight all the way to Tucson, and if I remember right, it was 25 anti-venom treatments. So Carson picked up that snake and said, "This seems right." But at the end, it could have been the way of death for him. And that's the way that Satan is. He wants to deceive people, make something look right, acceptable, safe, good, in order to destroy them in the end. And he presents his lies about how to have a right relationship with God. There's a way which seems right to a person, but in the end is the way of death. And so to stay away from that way of death, it is vital that we understand that there's only one door to God in eternal life. Jesus continues on. We're in John chapter 10, verse 9. Again, he's getting more specific here so that his disciples really understand what he's saying. He says, "I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." As we looked at it a moment ago, there was only one doorway into the sheepfold. And likewise, Jesus is the only doorway into eternal life. You know, some people would say it's okay what the Bible says for Christians. You know, if you're a Christian, it's okay if you believe that. But people would say Christianity is not the only way to God. All right, who's heard this? All roads lead to God. It's up to each person to decide which way seems right. Anybody heard that before? Yeah, probably we could all raise our hands. That is such a common saying in the world, not just in our country, but all around the world. People would hold on to this idea that, you know, whatever seems right to me, and I can embrace that, that's okay. But it teaches that everyone's ideas are equal and valid. And the reality is, people can be wrong. I can be wrong. You can be wrong. And there's a reason that we as a church, we use God's word as our standard. Because Jesus, he made it very clear, he's the only way, there's not many, by which a person can have eternal life. Think about the ark that God told Noah to build. That flood was coming, and God, to prepare for that, he had Noah, gave him the instructions on how to build this ark. And how many arks did he tell him to build? Just one. And in that ark, he gave him very specific instructions. How many doors did he tell him to build into the ark? Just one. And we see the illustration of the fact that Christ is also the only door to God. He's the door to the sheepfold. He's like that one door into the ark, providing salvation. He's the only way that we can be saved from God's wrath that we rightfully deserve. It's through trusting in Jesus Christ as our Savior. He goes on, and we see in John chapter 10, verse 10, that he came to give us eternal life. John 10:10 says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came so that they would have life and have it abundantly." So he's talking about Satan here. He's calling him a thief. And notice that Satan, he's got just a one-track mind. He only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Nothing is good about his motivation. So when he spreads his lies around that many ways leads to God, he's just trying to destroy. He's trying to keep people separated from God forever. But you think about it, Jesus is so different. He's not like Satan and the evil spirits that take life. He's the one that gives life. That's what he came to do. And as we've been looking at the storyline of Christ from Genesis all the way to where we're at now, he's been seen as the promised deliverer. And he came to restore people to that life that God wanted us to live and enjoy with him forever, that abundant life that he talks about here. And the great news is that the life that he offers is free to all who will believe on him. And I don't know how you feel about this, but those who believe on him were referred to as his sheep. I've never raised sheep, but I know some that have, and certainly they are animals that need direction, right? They oftentimes stray away. They get themselves into danger, and we can see a picture of ourselves. We're just like those. We go on, and we see Jesus is the good shepherd. John chapter 10, verse 11. He says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." And as the good shepherd, Jesus had to die for the sheep. He says he's like a shepherd that loved the sheep so much that he would give his life to save them from being taken by robbers or killed by wild animals. And Jesus, even at this point in the story, he knew that he was going to have to die. We've talked about that. We've already seen him telling his disciples specifically what was going to happen. And all that God had said through all the Old Testament prophecies about the coming deliverer, they're going to be fulfilled in Jesus Christ. If we look at Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 and 5, we've got that to go on the screen here. The prophet Isaiah was speaking about the coming deliverer, that he would have to suffer and die for others. He says, "However, it was our sicknesses that he himself bore, and our pains that he carried. Yet we ourselves assumed that he had been afflicted, struck down by God, and humiliated. But he was pierced for our offenses. He was crushed for our wrongdoings. The punishment for our well-being was laid upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. And what Jesus said in John 10:11 is that he's going to fulfill Isaiah's prophecy. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And I'm sure there were people at that time and people today that would look and say, well, what a humiliation that Jesus was on that cross. He did some wrong things and they got him for it. But what we read here in Isaiah is no. He was pierced for our offenses. And it's by his wounds that we're healed. Great truths there. And you see, nothing just ever happened to Jesus. Jesus happened. He was in control. He was accomplishing his purpose. Now we're going to go on over just a couple pages to John chapter 14, verse 6. Very familiar verse here. And we see that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. John 14, 6. Jesus said to them, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the way. And as we've seen, there's a lot of incorrect ways that people try to be set free from sin and death. People can try to be religious. They can try to attend church meetings like this one. And as special as this is with all of our great decorations for Vacation Bible School, this isn't going to get us in a right relationship with God. People can try to do good works, just being nice to others, try to keep the golden rule, treat others as you would want to be treated. People can try to keep the Ten Commandments. They can try to be baptized, take communion. But any kind of religious ritual someone could come up with, none of them can save us. We can only come to God through one person, and his name is Jesus Christ. He is the only way, the only door to God. Our memory verse, I've saved it for this point because it goes so well with what we're talking about here, but 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, Paul writes there, he says, there is one God and one mediator also between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all. Jesus is the truth. He not only taught the truth, but he is the truth. And we might ask, why do so many claim that they want to know the truth and yet refuse to listen to God? Why do so many instead listen to false teachers, as we talked about? Well, false teachers oftentimes claim to have superior knowledge. And today, you don't have to go to a church building to be exposed to false teaching. We've got YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and the list goes on and on. False teachers are all around us. And there are so many good teachers on those platforms that teach truth from God's Word. But there's also many that would pull out little portions of Scripture and twist them and give their own ideas about its meaning. But in contrast, here we see Jesus as the truth. And everything that he said is true because he cannot lie. And the reason that he came to earth is that he would make the truth known to us. Praise God for that. Jesus is also the life. As Almighty God, he created the first men and women, and he created natural human life. He's the one that gives human life to everyone born since then. And yet, he's not just the source of physical life, but he is also eternal life. Our eternal life is only found in Jesus. As we get ready to close in a moment this morning, there's a good question to consider. This may be for you. It may be a question that you can ask others around you. As we talked about earlier, friends and family, it's a good question to think about. But the question is, what path are you taking to be accepted by God? What path are you taking to be accepted by God? And that is such an important question because, as we looked at a minute ago, there's a way that seems right. There's a lot of false truths out there. There's a way that seems right to a person, but its end is the way of death. So what path are you taking to be accepted by God? Is it the only path that he has provided and told us about in his word? Or are we attempting to please God in some other way? All those religious rituals we talked about. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And in the coming weeks, we're going to see just that. We're going to see Jesus laying down his life. And it is for that reason that he could truthfully say, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Let's pray. Father, we're faced this morning with a concrete claim by Jesus that he is the only way. Lord, may we be people of your word, clinging to this truth. We thank you that we have seen and we have available to see over and over the evidence of Christ as the one, the coming deliverer who was promised. Lord, may we be aware of people around us that need to hear these truths, that we might have good conversations. And Father, if there's anyone listening that has not come to the place where they believe that Jesus is the one, he is the door, may we each believe this truth and receive salvation that you freely offer. Thank you for this great truth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.